In a few minutes, why the condom business is not what it used to be. The Federal Reserve has left interest rates alone, and Fed Chair Jerome Powell yesterday worked hard to warn that current low inflation might just be a temporary condition. Let's consult Diane Swonk, the chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Good morning.
Good morning.
Inflation in a transitory phase could be. Does that analysis from the Fed chair make sense to you?
Well, it is in many ways, because the Fed has been surprised by inflation in the past, where measurement changes in inflation have meant all of a sudden we saw a drop in inflation that played out over time. So that disinflation, that slowdown inflation, was transitory and a bit of a head fake. And that's something that Chairman Powell wanted to point out at his press conference yesterday after they made the statement that, hey, inflation is low. We understand that. But there's some measurement errors on things like apparel and the way that you're charged for your brokerage account that could easily play out. They're one-time factors, and we're willing to wait it out.
All right, on some parts of this, but what were you telling me? Home prices are decelerating. That's a force downward.
Exactly. That's one of the things he didn't talk about, and that's been a major factor pushing prices up in inflation more generally, is, of course, the rapid acceleration we've seen in housing prices. And those are now decelerating, which is good news, of course, if you're trying to buy a home, not as good news if you're trying to sell a home. And I think that's something that could be more complicated for the Fed as we go forward.
Very briefly, the big jobs report for April is tomorrow. What are you thinking?
Looking at more solid gains of 180,000 or a little bit plus that in private sector jobs.
All right. We'll try to confirm that tomorrow at this time. Diane Swonk at Grant Thornton, thank you so much.
Thank you.
The percentage of uninsured children in the U.S. had been declining for years, but a new study finds the numbers have started moving back up. The rate increased across demographic groups, with some 4 million U.S. kids having no insurance now. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports.
These latest numbers were tabulated by a research center at the University of Minnesota. Elizabeth Lukanen is deputy director and says in her almost decade of studying this,
we have always seen declines, and this year our new analysis shows an increase in uninsurance of more than 260,000 children between 2016 and 2017.
The strong economy helped boost the number of kids covered by employer-sponsored insurance, but it wasn't enough to offset the drop in the number of children on Medicaid or individual plans. Joan Alker at Georgetown Center for Children and Families thinks the 2017 surge in uninsured kids is the start of a trend.
Because we've just seen some new federal data that shows getting close to 1 million children have lost Medicaid in 2018. That's not even showing up yet in this data we're talking about today.
And when that data does show up in the fall, Alker expects to see an even sharper increase in the number of uninsured kids. I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
On the heels of government data this week showing a spike upward in consumer spending in March, we'll see if that lit a fire under some consumer products companies. Church & Dwight, which does Arm & Hammer, Nair, and Waterpik. And Reckitt Benckiser, which does Lysol and Mucinex, today reported lower than expected sales, blaming a flu season that wasn't all that bad. Church & Dwight, along with Reckitt, are also two of the biggest producers of condoms in the country. And as Marketplace's Erica Barris reports, that business is not what it used to be.
24-year-old Franjo Ivankovic says he and his friends have a lot on their minds these days. They're worried about jobs, their economic futures, immigration, and it's affecting their sex lives.
We tend to kind of not only get cautious as to like having sex, but also lose the mood to have sex or socialize.
Last year, about a quarter of 18 to 25-year-olds said they hadn't had a sexual partner in the past 12 months. That's more than double the percentage from 1988, according to a broad demographic study known as the General Social Survey. And those who were having sex said they were less active than in the past. Jean Twenge is a psychologist who studies generational differences. She says these days, younger adults take longer to become adults.
They're less likely to get a driver's license, to drink alcohol, to have a paid job, to date, and also to have sex.
They're also more likely to be living at home into their late 20s. All these factors have contributed to a steady drop in in-store condom sales from $519 million in 2015 to less than $486 million last year. The country's big condom brands, Trojan, Durex, and Lifestyles, have taken most of the hit. Caroline Levy with Macquarie Research says given that millennials are such a big group,
it should be quite a steady sort of growth business.
Nadia Kerner is with Reckitt Benckiser, maker of Durex. She says these days, young people aren't as concerned about sexually transmitted diseases.
This generation, A, thinks, any kind of STD will not happen to them. And the second reason is why they are not using condoms is condoms get in the way.
Kerner says Durex has started advertising on Tinder, the popular dating app. Users swipe left or right on advertising profiles to learn about safe sex practices. Church & Dwight, which makes Trojan condoms, also has a smartphone strategy, or rather a strategy to encourage young people to put their phones down and interact with each other. The company recently released an album on Spotify called The Trojan Man's Big Sexy Album.
We sat on the bed, there was something between us.
You get the idea. Analyst Caroline Levy says if your market is simply declining,
stand on your head and, do circles on it, and it's still not going to drive your sales up.
No matter how many Spotify playlists and Tinder profiles you use to draw people in. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
And Democrats in the House have been trying to get Deutsche Bank and Capital One to turn over financial records of Trump family businesses. But last night, a lawyer for the House suspended that order to wait for a court decision on Trump Organization efforts to keep the documents under wraps. Democrats are looking into possible foreign influence or financial wrongdoing going back 10 years. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.